From Psalm 9, verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds.
Will you pray with me? So enter now into these moments, O Lord, the work of your Holy Spirit, that in our minds, but especially in our hearts, we might pour forth with gratitude and praise your name to the ends of the earth, and acknowledging with thankful expression all that we are and all that you would do. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. This morning, Nancy shared for us the opening of Psalm 9. If you brought your Hebrew Bibles with you, you'll take them out. And you'll note that Psalms 9 and 10 are an acrostic expression of Psalm. These two Psalms use each letter of the alphabet to move through to express thanksgiving and praise. I'm thankful that Nancy Webster shared the reading of the Word this morning, and that you and I can hear and experience the abundance of God's gifts of praise. Nancy DeMoss penned a book entitled Choosing Gratitude, Your Journey to Joy. And in that devotional work expressed for us the nature of what it means to live lives of gratitude and praise. It would be as if the psalmist in the 136th Psalm again gave thanks to God for his faithful love endures forever, the psalmist proclaims. We this morning hear the psalmist in Psalm 9 say, I will tell of your wonderful deeds. So this morning we complete our series on From the Heart as speaking from the heart and telling God's wonderful deeds. The psalmist might be remembering those deeds of the Old Testament, the expressions of God's wonderful works in the Exodus, when he brought us as a people of captivity out of Pharaoh's control and led us into the wilderness with Moses, and for 40 years fed us by bread in the morning and quail and meat in the evening, each and every day of 40 years, that an entire generation might learn to express what it means to live lives of gratitude. Or perhaps we would be the generation that would be in the promised land inheritance. Those that followed Joshua and entered that land and established 12 distinct areas for the tribes of Israel to each have their place in God's provision and to know God's steadfast love endures forever. Or perhaps the psalmist is remembering the kings from Solomon to David, to Saul, each one resembling the work of God and the establishment that God is not only a distant and heavenly king, but he anoints those who would lead us in this time to be a people expressing gratitude and God's wonderful deeds. The psalmist in verses 3 and 4 can go on to personalize this experience and acknowledge for us that God is at work in and through their very existence. Yet Isaiah in chapter 29, 13, reminded the nation of Israel that it wasn't just with our lips that we were to share gratitude. Hear these words as the prophet said, because these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is a human command learned by rote. Oh, it would seem that you and I would remember that we're to express thanksgiving with our whole heart. The liveliness of our expression, not just in token gratitude of lip service, but a very expression of all of our life. It would seem for us that in our modern day, captured for us is the tale that has been shown now for the last 50 years, a Charlie Brown Christmas. Maybe you've seen it, or maybe that's still on your watch list for this year. But I want to anoint for you a special segment of that story and see whether or not you caught its deeper message of gratitude. You remember that Charlie Brown's facing that challenge of a commercialized a Christmas that's all about glitz and glitter and glamour. And yet he calls out, "Can anybody tell me what Christmas is about?" And there his devoted friend, who has been clinging to his security blanket, Linus, walks to center stage and says, "I can tell you what it's about, Charlie Brown." Remember that scene? And Linus goes on to, in essence, tell the Lucan Christmas story, the hymn that was read for us out of Colossians today, that nature that all things were created through Christ, and that Christ now would redeem all things by his blood that we might live in peace. And so Linus, when he stepped to that center stage and began to tell the story, something amazing happened when he repeated the words of the angel, "Fear not." Do you remember what it was? What happened? He dropped his security blanket. It fell to the floor. "Fear not." An expression that many suggest that Schultz subtly told us a deeper message of that Christmas story. Our thanksgiving and our gratitude is that fear ends and life begins. We begin to proclaim with confidence that God has come among us to claim and redeem us. Those wonderful deeds of God, "Fear not," begin to ring from our lips. It is, as the psalmist says, our whole heart that offers thanks to God. Not just a small portion, not just a fraction of our lives. Some have shared with me your family traditions that during your gatherings in this holiday season, when you're around the table, you pause and each family member is asked to give thanks for what God has done for them in the past year. That would seem an interesting contrast to a recent news survey that was done by Motel 6. Motel 6 tells us that you and I as Americans can only tolerate our families for 3 hours and 54 minutes until we break into hostility and lack of gratitude. Now, maybe they're trying to sell you a room because the light is on. I don't know, but maybe they are telling the subtle truth that you and I should move beyond our covetousness and our wantonness into a whole life expression of who God is, a gratitude with thankfulness for our family, even if they're not perfect and even if they are offensive. A gratitude that would let us cherish one another, not with just a casual lip service of 4 hours, but a lifetime of thanksgiving to God for all that God has created and done and given and allowed us to praise. It would seem as if Paul, to the church in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, would speak the truth. Give thanks for everything, not just for that which is good. Give thanks for moments of hardship and sorrow. like Paul and Silas were when they were found in prison late at night singing hymns in thanksgiving till the earthquake came and shook the locks open and broke their bonds, fear not. And the centurion came rushing in thinking that the whole prison was lost until a voice in the darkness called out, "We are still here, no longer captives, but free." Because of Jesus Christ, the centurion and his whole family was baptized that night, called into relationship with Christ. Who among our family table, who among our relatives or even our enemies should receive the gratitude of our whole hearts and not just our lips? It would be for us an opportunity to give thanks that bitterness and arrogance and disappointment, these may fade away so that in gratitude our lips and our whole lives would share forth God's praise. It's with our whole hearts, the psalmist says, God is glorified. It is with God's expression of gratitude, of God's faithfulness, that His love endures forever, not ours. The psalmist would draw us back once again in this season of thanksgiving, that our whole lives would tell the wonderful works and God's great deeds, and our lips and our whole hearts would share God's praise. Amen.